Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 4, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist. It's the season finale, you guys. And we're talking about November 3rd, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it's your boy Miles, a.k.a. Young Fuckery.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious stand-up, a great writer, a fashion icon, Riley Silverman.
Hello. Do I need an AKA as well, or is that just like your thing? I mean, no.
On the spot. Hit me one.
The next doctor. I don't know.
Boom.
Yeah.
The next doctor.
Sure,
yeah, I love it. Riley, what's something from your search history that you believe is revealing about who you are as a human being?
I have been doing a deep dive into random flirtatious gifts because I am entering into a long-distance relationship with someone, and that's been the primary means of our flirting is gifts. So it's a lot of, like, very specific TV show references or emotional feelings in gift form. And so I think my history is just full of weird gifts.
Nice.
A lot of Mary Louise Parker from the TV show Weeds drinking iced coffee. It seems to be, like, the number one gift set of our relationship.
What, so. Are y'all Weeds fans?
Well, yeah, and Mary Louise Parker has this weird, and we've, like, she and I both agreed on this, has this weird, like, iconic status amongst, like, queer women, even though she is very tragically heterosexual, it seems.
Right.
But she's just been in a bunch of different queer, like, projects or adjacent to things, and also was just, she just has that kind of, like, vibe to her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's something great about her.
And Weeds in particular, she just really, like, exudes a palpable sexuality.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and then, like, they embraced it. Like, all the flyers and all the, like, posters and billboards were always her.
Oh, like half naked.
Dominatrixy kind
right,
of weed
yeah.
dealer.
Wasn't she
yeah.
covered in, like, weed in one of them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember that billboard.
Barely covered, if you ask me.
Do you make your own gifts?
I don't know how, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I know it's really easy, I've been told, and, like...
It's real easy.
A couple times I've wanted something in gift form, and someone's kind of, like, arrogant about it. Like, you could just make it. And I'm like... It's like, for me, it feels like when someone's like, you could change your own oil. I'm like, you don't tell me how to live,
right? Right, right, right. It's like, why would I do that when someone is already doing that somewhere? I can find it.
these gifts exist for a reason.
I'm like, I don't want to have to track down the footage that I'm looking for to make the gif. Like, that's the thing. Like, that would be harder for me than just hoping someone has the gif.
That makes me feel really sad because I sometimes go through painstaking lengths to make the right gif of, like, just very specific things that's really for an audience of one.
That should make you happy, man. You are making love possible between two human beings. Like,
I guess if someone really wants, like, a very specific part of, like, one line Tom Sizemore said in Saving Private Ryan as a gif.
That's how I express my love.
That's actually how she and I got together. So that's actually wonderful that you did that.
Okay, I'm relieved.
Yeah.
Woo! Riley, what is something you believe to be overrated?
Something I believe to be overrated is the horror film Sleepaway Camp. I'm tired of hearing about it. I know we're out of Halloween now, but I'm tired of hearing cisgender people tell me how shocking the ending of Sleepaway Camp was. Yeah, transgender people exist. You can get over it. Like, if you were a kid and you were shocked then and you can remember just being shocked then, fine. But it's 2017. We exist. Some women have penises. Get over it. I'm tired of hearing about it.
So the ending of Sleepaway Camp, the big twist is a reveal that the villain was
a trans woman. Yeah.
A trans woman. Got it.
And it's part of an era of filmmaking that is kind of referred to as like trans panic, which is essentially like this. It's, you got like, you got your Silence of the Lambs, you've got your Dress to Kill, you've got even like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Oh yeah.
There's a whole era of these movies where trans people or someone who is like a bad movie version of what a trans person is presented as this like psychotic killer, and then it's like, oh, all trans people are disturbed and threatening to us and dangerous, and it really kind of contributes to a lot of the prejudice against us and violence against us. And it's also just like really, like at this point, it's just, it's done. Stop doing it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel really, Sleepaway Camp is a movie that came out?
Yeah,
recently?
I was.
No, it's like 80s. Like 80s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. But now people are...
It's one of those ones that always comes up in conversations about, like, horror movies with twist endings. And the only twist is, oh my gosh, it was a boy. Like, that's, like, bullshit.
It's like...
Sorry, can we swear? I just swear, like,
you
twice. Okay.
You can. Cool. We demand it.
And
yeah.
You haven't hit your quota yet. You have about 13 more to do.
Oh, it's going to happen. Don't worry
about
it.
So I'll put
one for every doctor. Yeah.
What's something you believe to be underrated?
Joan Cusack.
Oh, love Joan Cusack.
I think Joan is a superior Cusack sibling.
Yeah. I've
been having a lot of, I wasn't even sure this counted as underrated or overrated, but I think there's a point where we collectively got over John Cusack and we haven't wanted to admit it as a culture. I think because like there was a point where he was like the king of like a certain kind of movie. And I asked today on Facebook about John Cusack. I was like, when did we get over him? People go, we're not. And then I was like, name the last John Cusack movie you saw that like you can name off the top of your head that you were excited about. And they're always like Hot Tub Time Machine, which is like 7 years ago or
and
2012.
Also, like, kind of making like, fun of. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I forget. Yeah. Joan, and you know, Joan is like a good utility character actress. I think that she should be in more things. And I think she's always, people kind of forget how great she is in Adam's Family Values as Debbie.
Yes.
That's like pretty much, and then,
Miss Debbie!
Deborah? Anyway, that's my favorite line when they go see Uncle Fester and she's completely taken over his mind.
Yeah.
Also, I had a mad crush on her when she was in the movie Toys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Toys is also, let's go ahead and put that in the underrated
yes,
title. Toys
you.
Is due for a renaissance. Like, it is
really?
Such a weird, bizarre little movie. Have you never seen it?
I did when I was a child.
It's got Dumbledore. It's got LL Cool J. It's got Robin Williams. It's got Joan Cusack. It's like this bizarre, weird movie that's like a, and it kind of like
predicts
drones.
Yeah.
Like, it basically.
Like little kids, like being able to fight wars just from the safety and comfort of their video game chair.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I loved it too. And also I've mentioned this. This is a complete aside, but in Toys, LL Cool J doesn't like his food touching.
Yeah.
And he says that a lot. It infected my mind as a kid, and that's why to this day I don't like salad on my plate with other things. Like if I have salad, it has to be in a separate plate. Thank you, LL Cool J. Thank you, Toys. Thank you, Joan Cusack.
And you came in, when I came in, you were camouflaged as a couch.
Exactly.
So,
and then I started, what's up, Riley?
Yeah. And I ordered a mayonnaise sandwich. So things are really working out for us.
That is multiple Toys references on this podcast.
Yeah.
We are a Toys podcast.
Yeah,
we are.
All right. I'll take it.
There's enough things happening in Toys that I could probably do a podcast and like spend each episode like 10 minutes of that movie.
Yes.
It is a bizarre. Okay, that's all the Toys. I'm sorry.
And aesthetically, it was beautiful. Like the set design. I'm all about Toys.
That is a Meccas movie?
Let me look right now.
You got it right in front of him, yeah.
Because I was just looking up Joan Cusack's.
No, it's Barry Levinson. That makes
Barry
sense.
Barry Levinson.
That's a very Barry Levinson kind of like twisted dark comedy vibe.
Another occasionally great hot and cold director. All right. I believe that people both know you, Riley, by yeah. now, and know a lot about the movie Toys by now. So real quick, before getting into the stories, the Daily Zeitgeist, we are trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether you're looking or not. We talk about the politics and the news. We also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. Yeah, we're just trying to take the temperature of what's affecting the national shared consciousness. And before we get into it, Riley, we try to sample the zeitgeist, but sometimes we take the opportunity to correct the zeitgeist. And you touched in your over-under on like some trans myths, but are there any other trans myths that you didn't get to that are just annoying to you as a trans woman, like in terms of how trans people are treated or portrayed in movies, TV, etc.?
Yeah, I think the big one still is this idea of like that it's okay to cast a cis male actor to play a trans woman in a movie. That seems to be the biggest, most prevailing and still happening thing, it feels like. And I think there's this myth that I think people still kind of see a trans woman as a man who wanted to become a woman, as right. opposed to a woman who was born and misidentified as a man. Mm-hmm. I think most people, when they try to imagine themselves as trans or to understand the trans experience, go, oh, I don't know what I would be like if I wanted to be the other gender. But the way I think the better way to view what being trans is like is imagine you are the gender you are right now, but no one believes you or like no one sees it but you.
Right.
That's what being trans is like. Like I've always identified – I've always seen myself as a girl or as a woman my whole life. And as a kid, people saw me as a boy. So it was like that frustrating like, but how does no one else see this? Like that's very different than like going, boy, I would sure like to be a girl, if that makes sense. So – that going into casting, when you keep casting men to play trans women, you're basically casting men to play women.
Right.
And so then there's always this like argument about it where people will say something like, well, any actor should be able to play any role. And like it only seems to get applied to that particular kind of topic. But I think that like that's it still kind of predicates itself on the idea that being trans is a costume you can put on. And like you would never, unless you were trying to make a specific point about identity or gender, you would never cast a cis man to play a cis woman in something unless you're doing something like Louis Anderson on Baskets where it's like kind of meant to mean something or be like it's like kind of just kind of like a bit of like a storytelling thing happening with that.
Right.
You wouldn't just randomly do that. So right. it's got to be viewed more like that. And I think that's the number one issue because what happens with that is then – people see, let's say, Jared Leto or Eddie Redmayne playing a trans woman in something, and then they go, well, yeah. And so then when they, like, people would say, for instance, date a trans woman, and then, like, other people find out, because typically the argument about trans women is like this, like, and like, why we get murdered at higher rates, is this idea that we are tricking people into thinking that we're women, and then they, like, I found out you used to be a guy. Like, that's why that point of view is so destructive.
Right.
Because it implies that we have a history that we're hiding as opposed to just being ourselves and our true identity.
Right.
And I know like a lot of like this is like Jen Richards, who is a trans actress and a really, really good advocate for this kind of stuff, talks about like men that she's dated who knew she was trans but didn't want to be public with their relationship because they didn't want their friends to think she was like dating like they were dating like Jared Leto or whatever, like the guy.
Right.
I don't want my friends to think that I'm dating Dallas Buyers Club and that kind of thing. And that can lead to murders and violence against us, and especially trans women of color who are usually much more marginalized by society. And this is, I know, a laugh riot.
No, but it's
but, yeah.
very valuable, I think, and really, yeah, that is something yeah. that hadn't totally occurred to me.
Yeah, and the whole thing of like, I don't think men really do kill trans women when they find out that we're trans, like the portrayal is. I think they kill us when their friends find out that we're trans. Mm. I think it's less their discovery of us and more the shame of being caught, quote unquote.
Right.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like even growing up, right, like on like the shitty talk shows like Jerry Springer, you would constantly see that happen where
yeah.
A woman would reveal their gender identity and then the dude just flips out.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that, yeah, that that exact thing sort of embodies that sort of same sentiment of just sort of like, oh, well, now I'm on the show knowing. So to reaffirm my masculinity, I'm going to act like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what's funny is when I was still a young and like closeted comic living in Ohio, mm-hmm. I had some friends who ended up getting booked to do a segment on the Jerry Springer Show, and it was fake.
Right.
And they just cast people to play the people that were on the thing. And they actually wanted me to play a young man who found out that his girlfriend, he was cheating on his other girlfriend,
really?
Was trans. And wow. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't go do that. Like, I'm so glad. I had a feeling that driving to Chicago to do the Jerry Springer Show wasn't the best thing to do for my career.
Right.
And I'm like, to this day, I'm like, I'm so glad that there's like not footage of me somewhere being,
right.
Yeah.
Being like, what?
Being a yeah. plant. Yeah, exactly.
Well, this has been very enlightening. Mostly that, the Jerry Springer Show is fake. I never could have seen that coming.
Right? Shocker. People yeah. are surprised.
Also, I mean, if you've ever seen an actual fist fight, that's not how people fight.
Right. Yeah. Right. And just really quickly, I mean, you mentioned how high the murder rate is for trans people. That's something that when I found out that, I mean, it's basically the most dangerous demographic to be, essentially.
Yeah, we have the highest murder rates and we have one of the highest suicide rates. And that's the thing that gets used against us, which is really unfair and like really destructive. People try to use our suicide rates against us to like imply that we're mentally ill and like disturbed, but it's more that we have high suicide rates because we're so frequently persecuted by society.
Yeah.
Like I remember somebody who was making the argument trying to imply that we were like disturbed was like, oh, it's the same rates as Holocaust survivors. And I'm like, well, that's not a mentally ill group. The Holocaust survivors right. survived the Holocaust.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's your
real trauma.
That's your baseline. Then look at what was happening
Jesus
to them.
Christ.
And look what's
yeah.
happening to us. Like, it just, it's really important to bring us up right now because, November is actually Transgender Awareness Month because we actually do on November 20th, around the world, there's International Trans Day of Remembrance. And what we do is we literally just read the names of our community members and our family members who have been murdered in the last year, and it's like
wow.
really somber and like really powerful. And so if you're a person who is interested in being like a good ally to the trans community or like really kind of understanding the weight of what we face every day, find out when one of these vigils is happening in your town, like in Hollywood. We do it at the West Hollywood Library, and there's lots of security, so just don't come if you want to be a dick. But yeah, and march with us. We would like to have support and have people know that we're not alone in this.
That's awesome. Thanks.
I'll be funny from now on.
All right. Us too. Promise. So let's move on to the stories. Real quick before our break, we wanted to mention that Osama bin Laden's computer files were released onto the internet.
Amazing.
And we were able to see the file names, and they were occasionally really funny.
Oh my God.
There was a lot of crocheting videos. There were a lot of children's movies, Ants, Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, and Cars.
Ants feels especially fun to me because, well, he's not as fun anymore, but Woody Allen is the lead in that movie. So
right.
I love the idea that bin Laden is watching this movie that's like a very like stereotypical Jewish man. obviously, we'll get to Woody Allen a little bit later, but yeah.
We always do. We always do get to Woody Allen a little later. Some of the crocheting videos, The Art of Crochet, How to Crochet a Basket, Stripe Crochet Beanie Cap, and Crochet Star. Probably the kind of most mind-bending file that was on his hard drive was he had Loose Change, the like 9/11 truther
yeah.
conspiracy
requisite doc. Viewing for any stoner in college.
Right.
It's like, whoa, what if, bro?
Right. Which it's must have been like a way more extreme version of how Chuck Berry must have felt when he watched Back to the Future for the first time. Like, just him seeing someone else take credit for his damn work. And I mean, some people are saying that, you know, a lot of this could have been of children who were with him in the compound or his wives, or, you know, any of the people who were in there. But some of it was like erotica. There was one file called Ass .gif, I believe. Many S's. And,
oh, that's just a GIF, too. That's yeah. The part about it.
Poor guy.
It's actually just Mary Louise Parker drinking iced coffee, though.
Exactly. You just gotta search ass GIF and see what's out there. And there was also 8-bit, video games that were like, adult video games from back in like the 80s.
Like pixelated nude women. Like
right.
Where you would just do like the most menial task, like draw around to reveal this non-human woman.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a,
Lilo Suit Larry, that was the big like 8-bit porn game when we were like,
right,
you remember
that
game?
Yeah.
Like it was like King's Quest, but getting laid and.
Exactly. Yeah. It just shows you, man, it must have been boring as fuck to be in that compound hiding.
Right.
You know, I wonder if like, just. If the crocheting videos, if, I don't know, maybe Bin Laden was really trying to step up his crochet game.
Right.
Maybe it's what he thought.
Well, how did they make those vests? They have those vests and those,
Little known fact. Those are all homespun by Bin Laden himself. I think it's just funny. Like, there was Final Fantasy games. So there's, there was something for everyone. If you like porn, you're a 9/11 truther. We're all finding that maybe we have something in common with Osama.
Yeah. It's just funny to think that when he was watching all those documentaries, wondering like where Bin Laden was. He knew himself that the answer was in Pakistan, masturbating to 8-bit representations of naked women.
It's a good life.
It's a good life.
I guess.
It's a proud life. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. So we wanted to talk a little bit about what's being called the Weinstein effect, sort of the spreading a realization that famous men, a lot of famous men are fucking creeps. We've got Spacey, Ratner, Toback, Hoffman, Dustin Hoffman, apparently on a TV movie. Did we talk about that yesterday? On a TV movie in 1985, sexually harassed a 17-year-old young woman. Jeremy Piven, Price from Amazon, Halperin, who was the head of politics at ABC News, and George H.W. Bush, even though he was brought out at the Houston Astros. Was it like game three or something?
Yeah, one of them threw out the first pitch.
They were still cool with him.
Yeah.
Just like they were still cool with that.
Well, Gurriel gave him a standing ovation after he did a little slanty eye gesture. That was cool.
I'm not bitter, but yeah. Cool, Houston. Nice work. Yeah, it seems like there's never been a time when the world was more receptive to women calling out powerful men who've abused them. But nobody's really talking about the most powerful man, Donald Trump, unless you count the people in Donald Jr.'s mentions every time he gloats about a new Hollywood bigwig getting named. But yeah, Trump's accusers have told the New York Times this week that they feel like the country's forgotten them, and they have good reason to feel that way. And it's probably worth just reminding people what he's been accused of, kissing a Miss USA pageant competitor on the mouth in 1997, when she was not looking for that, groping a fellow passenger on a flight several decades ago, kissing a receptionist working in Trump Tower in 2005, groping a contestant on The Apprentice in 2007, and then we have him bragging about how he grabs women by the pussy, and he doesn't even have to ask, because when you're a star, they just let you do it on tape. So, yeah, I don't know. It is interesting that he is apparently... not like this isn't even being brought up, really, for the most part, as people are talking about these the Hollywood elites who are being kind of taken down.
Well, it's, you know, Weinstein goes down because his entire industry rejected him. They said, yo, fuck that. This is bullshit. We can't have you be a part of this. So that's how Weinstein has to actually he actually experiences some form of a rejection or punishment. Trump, on the other hand. When that Grab Him by the Pussy tape came out, there were maybe a couple people who dropped their endorsements of him, but there was no across the board GOP saying, yo, this is not cool. We're not about this. Get rid of him. Because if you really think about it, if they did that, Hillary Clinton would have won, most likely, considering how narrowly Trump won. If the GOP really came out and said, yo, this is not what the party is about. We can't have someone like this representing us, especially not to be president.
Yeah.
That would have been a real problem for them. And I think it also shows like partisanship has kind of a lot to do with why that is, because even now Republicans are still very reluctant to call Trump out for any number of things that he's done. It seems like the only people that are willing to say anything are the people who have nothing left to gain, which are the outgoing like congressmen and senators. Those seem to be the only people who, because they're not affected by whether or not the GOP power structure crumbles. They're willing to say something.
Do you think it's something too about liberal groups being more willing to kind of eat our, like, there's always the argument that liberals, like, will devour our own tails when it comes to, like, social justice, things like that. So I wonder, that's part of it. Like, I think that liberals are much more willing to be publicly divisive amongst ourselves. And so with someone like Weinstein or whatever, like, no matter how much money he's donated to, like, our candidates or whatever, we're still like, hey, like, we will tear down our idols all the time. And sometimes to our detriment, to where we can't like win elections as easily because we can't rally behind a common figure. Like, I always say that Republicans or like conservatives will rally behind the like 10% of things they do agree on, whereas liberals, we will always like tear each other apart about the 10% we don't agree
right.
on. And that's like that's what I saw last year at the election too, even outside of the sexual harassment stuff.
Right. Yeah, and I do wonder that's a really good point. And I also wonder if, like, I read this article that was a really sort of deep dive into a single community in Colorado and sort of how the 2016 election went down there. And One of the most surprising things was there was this group of women called Women for Trump that really got involved in the community, you know, doing voter outreach. And they actually formed the day after the Access Hollywood tape came out. And their point, or like their thesis, was that they were tired of the liberal media telling them how they were supposed to feel about you know, sexual politics.
Yeah. And, well, that's part of the Trump effect in general. Like, Trump has figured out how to play conservative fatigue over liberal outrage like a fiddle. And so he continually, while in office and even beforehand, would say inflammatory things that people would get up in arms about, oftentimes very rightfully so. But because it happens so often and he can do it so frequently and on so many topics – that everybody who reacts to it, people who have any sort of inclination of like, oh, I'm tired of the PC police or whatever, can go, yeah, we're sick of hearing about it. We're tired of it. And so they almost like revel in the way that he baits us and the way that he taunts us. And it's this frustrating thing as a person who cares about social justice or a person who cares about like rights and equality of like, well, we can't just let things go.
Right.
But we also, I don't know yet how we even react to stuff without also then making it worse for us. Like, it's such a frustrating game of chess, and yeah.
It's easy to do because whether it's allegations of sexual assault or obstruction of justice or whatever it is, it's just another thing, again, that people – it's easy if you are a Trump supporter to say, oh, well, that's just another thing. They're trying to – like, what is it this week? What's the big Trump complaint this week? And it's easy to just – to dismiss it like outright. Yeah. And I think, again, because of like the sort of partisan angle of it all too, it's hard to sort of embrace that or to embrace the truth and say, oh, this is really wrong. And if you also look like the women who supported Trump, I think he got 61% of the white women without college degree vote. And that is a group who just, if you look at polling, like on a continuum, they're growing more conservative, in recent years. So to even have like, you know, to have that group of women as your supporter base, that's not going to do much for him to be held to any form of anything that resembles accountability.
Didn't Trump get most of the white women?
53% of white women.
53%.
Of white women.
Like white women overall.
Yeah, of overall. And 61% of white women without college degrees. And that's the one without college degrees is the one that is continually getting more conservative. Hmm. And again, I think even now we don't talk about the misconduct after the fact, because at the end of the day, he was elected president. And so that basically the America co-signed that and said, well, I guess that's not a problem because it was enough for him to become president.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff that was being rallied against him got dropped, like the case, the underage assault case that was like being built up, and like, it was going to court, and then he got elected because I don't think anyone thought he was going to win. And so he had like court dates set, and then the day he was elected, then like suddenly that disappeared because the victim didn't want to come forward anymore.
Right. I should have said that those examples are just the examples that people are still willing to kind of accuse him of.
And that's kind of the thing with the Weinstein case too, is that Weinstein's case, it's not like it just happened overnight. Like Ronan Farrow had like a months and months long investigation into this that he could come forward. And I think like that's the problem too with the Trump stuff, is like we have these scattered reports to come forward. We don't have anybody who's just going like, here are all the things that we need to say, you know?
Right.
And I guess during the election, many people did come out to accuse Trump of sexual harassment. And at the time, at every rally, he's like, oh, these people are lying. They're just trying to smear me for the campaign. And it wasn't taken seriously because if, again, from a partisan angle, it just seems like, oh, it's like a smear. Like if you believe in like the conspiratorial aspect, like, oh, who'd they pay to say this week is the mentality of some of the people who were so dismissive of these accusations.
Yeah. And he plays in those conspiracy theory things all the time. So,
yeah. And I mean, I guess just to play devil's advocate, the whole country kind of by the end of the Lewinsky scandal was kind of ready to move on, and we're like, yeah, okay, we get it. He got a blowjob from an intern. You know, let's move on. And he's doing a good job, and the economy's strong. When it was a Democrat, that scandal just, I talked about how the movie American Beauty, when I first saw it, I was, you know, an adolescent kid, and so it wasn't as creepy to me because I was younger than the like high school girl that Kevin Spacey was lusting after. The same thing with the Lewinsky affair. Like, she was like 22 or something.
That, you know, someone was talking about this recently on a Facebook thread that I was in, and about how different I think we would have viewed that entire affair in 2017 versus in the mid-90s when it happened. Because to think about how villainized Monica Lewinsky was by the culture when she really was just a young kid who was, like, seduced by her very, very, very powerful boss.
Right.
And, like, how, like, you know, Lewinsky has said that, like, for a long time, like, her mom wouldn't let her close the door while she was going to the bathroom because she was afraid she would kill herself. Like, it was like that. She was being tormented by the media and just, like, being viciously bullied all the time. And nowadays, I think that if she came forward, she would get at least a little bit more respect, or at least have a camp that was way more on her side than before.
You'd really hope so, you know?
I mean, who knows, but...
Right.
Well, yeah. And I think, again, too, with the fact that with Trump being elected president, that only reaffirms his worldview that, yeah, well, look, I can do that. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
And you can see that in how he's, like, rolling back Obama-era sexual assault guidelines or transgender bans and things like that. Getting elected is, like, the worst thing for someone who's done something, the kinds of accusations he has facing him.
Right.
And yeah, been being elected, well, like, there's no reason for you to think that there's anything wrong with anything you've done.
Yeah, he thinks that he's been proven completely right.
Right, and it's almost a mandate now.
He won because of the Electoral College, he didn't win by popular vote, but, like, he doesn't really seem to really want to believe that or understand that. And so he, in his mind, thinks, like, I am on the pulse of the American people and they believe what I believe. And, or at least that's what he's telling himself.
So I want to talk about one of these accusations that isn't getting as many headlines because the person's not that famous. But the publisher of the magazine Art Forum, his name is Knight Landisman, is being accused of sexually harassing a young woman named Amanda Schmidt. And the details are really pretty gross and horrifying. And I don't know. So Art Forum is apparently the magazine in the art world. It's kind of like where people go to, you know, decide if an artist is worth a damn. And I think I assumed that the art world was, like, progressive when it comes to sexual politics, just based on the content of, you know, what cutting edge avant-garde art is about. And yeah, I thought it was all, like, Maude from Big Lebowski. And, you know, it turns out it's still got a lot of problems. This feminist critique of art history called Why Haven't There Been Any Great Women Artists? And it's just this amazing essay that examines the history of sexism and the history of art. The writer talks about all the different ways that institutionalized sexism made it so that women, like, couldn't be considered great, couldn't practice the art form. Like, they weren't allowed to paint nude models because it was deemed unladylike. Just excelling at a single skill was deemed unladylike. Parents weren't going to let their daughters be painters. So she just makes this argument that, you know, that question, which I think was being asked more when she wrote it. She wrote the essay in 1971, which I probably should have set up.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were saying that this guy who stepped down was the one who published it. Like, not.
No. Well,
I was going to say there's plenty of examples of monstrous men who have been vocally in support of feminism until they get caught being a harasser.
So. Right. So I guess it's just and actually the editor-in-chief of the magazine has stepped down.
Yeah.
It is a woman, and she just was like, I can't, you know, support this magazine, this publication anymore. But
I see.
It's interesting to me to kind of examine, like, take another look at the art world and, you know, all the ways that even though it is sort of this cutting edge cultural thing, you know, it has been very dominated by white men just as much as, you know, other industries and, like, Wall Street and shit like that.
You know, there's this group called the Guerrilla Girls, and they've been working sort of anonymously for years to basically expose, as they say in their like mission statement, like gender and ethnic bias, as well as corruption and everything from politics, art, film, pop culture. So one of the campaigns they did was throwing up stickers about the lack of one-person exhibitions that were put on by female artists in New York. So in 1985, the Guggenheim didn't have any, the Metropolitan didn't have any, the Modern had one, and the Whitney didn't have any. And then in 2015, in terms of women who were having one-person exhibitions in the top New York City museums, the Guggenheim had one, the Metropolitan had one, the Modern had two, and the Whitney had one. So even in, 30 years, that is incremental change. You know, my dad is an artist, which is why I'm sort of waxing on about this. And he's a black man. So he's sort of had to confront the art world head on and things like this. You know, the power is still concentrated in men's hands, but also a lot of the collectors, they still value men's work by far. So essentially collectors are the ones that assign the value to art because they're telling you what they think this piece is worth paying for. And now in the last 20 years, there are more female curators and that's a step in the direction, but there's still very much a huge problem of representation, like within the art world. And I guess, you know, who knows what it's going to take to break that. And I think even when you think about in the article and ask like, who are the great women artists? I'm not a huge art expert, but if you asked me to say, name an artist, I would probably say a male artist immediately.
Right.
You know, or even if you asked young kids, they'd say like Shepard Fairey or Banksy or something like that. You know, if you said name a prolific female artist, I would have trouble. I would say Georgia O'Keeffe. Mm. And then I would begin really having to think then like, you know, I couldn't just list them down like that. And I think that is also very indicative of kind of what even the people who might not be totally into the art scene, that how little exposure we actually have to female artists in general.
Yeah, the fact that collectors, you know, the rest of society sort of bleeding into how artists are valued in that way, like the fact that, you know, many of the richest people in the world are still white men is probably has a huge effect on that.
I was going to say that the other thing is, too, is not unlike like comedy or any sort of entertainment kind of thing. A lot of it is who you know and who knows you to bring you into the fold. And that tends to be people tend to have this like intrinsic bias about like there's a term for it. But basically like, oh, I know these guys, so I'm going to bring them in, you know, and that like that's like there was an article just came out this week about the lack of people of color, especially women of color in the writer's room in television and how I think right now it was something like less than 4% of writers for TV shows are people of color and how like on Hulu of all of Hulu's original series, not a single writer is a person of color. And like that's like a huge, huge gap in representation. And it's because so much of like TV, right? Again, an industry you would think from service value is super liberal and super inclusive, but when you actually look at the numbers, don't hold up.
Right. Because like art, it has gatekeepers that you have to get past. And I guess all industries have gatekeepers.
Yeah.
But
some are just easier to get through the gates than
TV
others.
TV and movies, especially, like, you need a shitload of money to make those things.
Yeah.
And so,
unless you're one of, like, an anomaly of a person who can start on YouTube, completely self-started, and then and just by virtue of your audience being so big, they pull you into the mainstream like Issa Rae has.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Great. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and we should acknowledge that the three of us are not, like, experts on art by any means. Our super producer, Nick Stumpf, pointed out that there is a great artist named Louise Bourgeois, she actually came around, like, around the time of Jackson Pollock and Mark Rothko, and she thought that... She pointed out that surrealists made women the object of their art, and she was trying to make women the subject of art. But that is that's a big change, and I didn't realize how big a change it was before that conversation. So get off my back, Nick. I guess.
Sure. I mean, male gaze as a term comes from art before it comes from TV and TV, yeah, and movies.
Beau show. In our remaining time, I wanted to talk about Donald Trump's sleep schedule, you guys, and just sleep in general, because he brags constantly about only needing 4 hours of sleep a night, which I guess Margaret Thatcher was the same way. She said she only needed 4 hours of sleep a night.
I think Obama was, too. I think that was something that came up during his presidency.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of
more
presidents don't get that much sleep, but Trump, like, forever has said, like, why he barely needs that much sleep. But if you look at his tweets before people started taking his phone away, when he, like, left the Oval Office at night, like, went up to bed, he did send out some of his more erratic, I guess you could say, tweets, in the middle of the night, like, there was first of all, the despite the constant negative press, Covfefe, tweet.
Legendary,
that
legendary
came out in
typo.
The middle of the night. There was, did crooked Hillary help disgusting check out sex tape and passed Alicia M. become a U.S. citizen so she could use her in the debate? And, you know, a bunch of, a bunch of hateful stuff about Megyn Kelly. And, you know, he just a lot of his most famous Twitter tirades from during the election came.
And now afterwards, too.
Yeah, a few after, yeah.
And it's just interesting because it seems like, I don't know, I wonder what, like, if there's something about you know, the fact that he doesn't sleep is strange. Like, he's sort of almost this alternate type of person who, like, lives by this alternate sleep schedule. And that there are, like, for instance, there's a type of, I guess most dolphins, but there, in particular, these spinner dolphins that I saw when I went to Hawaii back in June. I saw that, like, we were out on a boat and these dolphins came up and were, like, playing and, you know, swimming alongside the boat. And the captain of the boat was like, yeah, they're asleep, actually. They just never sleep like we do because they would get eaten or drown. So they sleep with, like, one part of their brain at a time. And, I don't know, experts on human sleep talk about how, you know, you don't fall 100% to sleep and then, like, wake up 100%. There are moments of, like, partial sleep. Parts of the brain can go offline for periods of a few seconds to 30 seconds. There are things called micro sleep where you just slip up and, you know, they've actually studied people who are, like, train engineers and found that they are, like, will occasionally be asleep when they thought they were awake the whole time. A lot of people have even been seen to fall asleep for 3 to 5 seconds and just not realize it at all and then swear up and down that they were awake the whole time. So I don't know. It's just worrying to me to think about this idea that we have a guy who 24 hours a day has access to a button that can end the world. And, you know, at night he appears to become this different, sort of less responsible version, which is tough to become, like, more erratic and less responsible. But, you know, this guy who, like, never sleeps, and it, I don't know that people have studied that much these people who only need 4 hours of sleep a night. But
I also wonder too if he actually has that condition or if he saw it somewhere and thought that's impressive, so he, like, makes himself only sleep 4 hours so he can brag about it, and his body's, like, raggedly going, what are you doing to us?
Right.
Well, it could explain, like, when he goes off prompter in speeches and he just starts doing his Trump freestyle jazz, just, like, stream of consciousness talking, like, he's in some fugue state the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people point to different behaviors as being similar to dementia, and lack of sleep is really connected to Alzheimer's, and it's a, like, two kind of symbiotic relationship, or whatever the bad version of symbiotic is, where
parasitic
relationship where Alzheimer's both causes and is caused by lack of sleep. And so it's, you know, just a vicious cycle. So I don't know. It's, I don't have any solutions, to it, but it's just something, I guess, to keep an eye on, like, the timestamps on his tweets and, you know, General Kelly, if you're listening, like I know you do, maybe just keep an eye on him.
Yeah, get him some.
The biggest problem with Trump is the lack of compromise with his sleeping. So General Kelly can come in and compromise his sleep better.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
I can't imagine anyone who hates his presidency more than him. That's the thing that's weird about it. Like, at this point, I'm like, how bad is your ego that you just need to stay here? Because you clearly don't want to be here. You're mad at everything all the time. It's,
And the answer is so bad. His ego is so bad.
Yeah.
Riley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of fun. Where can people follow you?
On Twitter, I am at Riley J. Silverman. And if you go on Facebook, I have a Facebook page, Riley Silverman. And I'm also Riley Silverman on Instagram. And I am the head writer for a podcast called International Waters on the Max Fun Network. And I'm a writer for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls page.
Awesome. Those all sound wonderful. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And, you know, shout out to Dan O'Brien, who corrected me the other day. I said attorney generals. I am aware,
general.
Dan, it is attorneys general. But in the thick of it, you just don't know what to say sometimes.
My favorite one of that is people who get mad when you call it Whopper Juniors instead of Whoppers Junior. And I'm like, if you're that mad about grammar, you shouldn't be eating a burger to begin with.
That is fucking awesome. Yeah, it's just like attorneys general is not. It's just fun to say, and so yeah. Like grammar nerds just like to.
No, and I knew yeah, exactly, and I know that, and I felt small when I got called out. So you won this time, Dan.
You can follow me at Jack_OBRIEN, Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram, and you can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. You can go to our webpage, dailyzeitgeist.com, for some footnotes.
Footnotes!
We
are you ready for some footnotes?
Ooh,
well, that was fun.
You can have that.
Thank you.
We
just
will
drop,
take
just
it.
Drop me singing that in every episode.
Yeah, we have that isolated.
Yeah, drop. Yeah, we have links to every fact that we've cited, and we won't have links to the stuff we made up. So that's how you tell the difference. Most of what we said is factual, or we intended it to be, and so you can find all sourcing for all of the factual information we talked about today. That's going to do it for today, and we'll be back Monday with episode 1 of season 5. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.